Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a big hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, January 14th, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. We would just love to hear from you. So to participate live on air, you can give us a jingle at 347-857-2710. Again, that number, 347-857-2710. We are live here until 3 p.m. Pacific Time. It is so exciting. I have such a fabulous guest, and the call board is lighting up. It is so amazing. So we're going to get right to my guest today and have some fun. Well, my guest today refers to herself as a Renaissance woman. I love that. So the sky is the limit. She is the multi-talented and award-winning voice actor, director, producer, teacher, casting director, and composer-singer with a scrolling list of credits in all those fields. Boy, is she talented. Her MJ production studio in Burbank, California, is the state-of-the-art recording facility for producing voiceovers and audio for all media, as well as comedy writing for animation voices. It's also the site of her voiceover school, which offers classes for voice actors at all levels of experience. MJ has 24 years of experience in post-production music and sound effects, plus her work in advertising and corporate markets. Founded in San Francisco in 1983, wow, that seems just like yesterday, MJ Productions expanded to animation voiceovers in 1990 and moved to Los Angeles in 1998. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for MJ Lalo. Welcome, MJ.
I am so sorry to say this is Mumbai, and MJ Lalo has outsourced the whole entire program to us today. So we could be answering the questions for you. She had to take off, so you're talking to Mumbai right now.
Mumbai, great. You know, I have a Dell computer that I'm having a little problem with, so probably you can help me.
Just a minute here. Who's on the phone? Give me that darn phone back. Hello, who is this?
Mom,
please?
Is that
somebody
you?
Name?
Mom,
yes.
Is that you?
Oh, you better not talk dirty. I'm going to kick your butt.
Well, I'm the good girl, just like you taught me to be, so I'll mind my P's and Q's and X's and Y's and Z's.
Yeah, all right, baby. Come on. Give it to me. Let's go. Let's talk.
Let's talk. Well, you know what? This is kind of one of those economic shows where not only do you get MJ Lalo, but you get 1,000 voices plus. That's nice for the same low price.
Yes, for only 99 cents a voice, you too can call MJ Productions.
That's right. That's right. So, okay, so you know, your Mumbai voice. How do you create a voice? Where does that all begin?
You know, I actually worked with an Indian company, a couple different Indian companies that came to me for casting, producing, and directing their cartoons out of Mumbai. Mumbai or Mumbai? Which is it? Mumbai. Anyway, we did quite a few episodes for them, and the director of the animation company would always call in from Mumbai to hear the sessions. So in just listening to her talk to us, you know, during the sessions, I just decided I would be her. So, I mean, I got to hear the Indian accent a lot. And as a matter of fact, I fool it with fool my friends with it a lot. I'll call them and tell them they've got, you know, credit card problems and all kinds of things.
You'd be
my
a great bingo caller.
Yes. Yeah.
But I bet you have been told when you were younger, maybe even to this day, that you are a mimic, that if you hear something, it doesn't take long for you to mimic that voice, that sound and intonation, and create a character.
You know, I did that as a kid a lot. I mean, I would just even hear something going down the street, a car or anything, I'd go, you know, so I didn't really go into voiceover till later because my father was a musician. And so I became a musician. I mean, the minute I could lift my head up, my dad put a violin under my chin. You know, that's how it was. So then I played clarinet and oboe and just, you know, had a band in San Francisco. I had my own group, Lalo and Jazz to Go, and just was a singer. I shouldn't say just. I mean, I wrote the music for the group and everything. But then I was singing on a film at Coppola's studio in Berkeley, And we came out of the session, and one of the gals that was singing with me on it, we did the ADNR and everything for it. It's called That Play in the Fields of the Lord, which is a great film if you haven't seen it. Quite, you know, when did it come out, 95 or something? But anyway, we came out of that session, she said, and she said, boy, that show was fun. And I said, wow, that is really a cool voice. And, and she said, oh, I'm learning those. And I said, you were learning funny voices? I mean, nobody'd really heard of learning wacky voices back in 1990. So I said, give me that woman's name, who was Samantha Paris. And I went and studied with her and took every voiceover class I could take and, you know, threw it on the credit cards and just studied for years there and met a ton of people from L.A. who she used to send up to guest direct. So I had a good model for my school.
Wow, so it sounds like when you were younger, your destiny was already chosen for you on some level.
I guess so, in a way, the music.
What's that?
Yeah, definitely with my dad. And then you know, I was in theater and stuff. I just loved playing, so. Yeah. And I was a class clown. I got D's, you know, in what is it called? It's not called behavior now. What do they call that when you get a D and works and plays well with others or class disruption or something?
It's
a little checkbox.
In kindergarten, that's what they used to do. They used to give you S or S for satisfactory, N needs to improve. Works well with
exactly.
others.
Exactly.
Wow, I'm dating myself. I just picture that card. That's amazing. That is amazing. Okay, so let's say, let's go back to that, because I know a lot of people who want to get into voiceover want to know, how do you create a character? What are some of the steps one needs to go through to create a character?
Well, I think that mimicking is great. I mean, we're so fortunate that now there's so many television stations and cable stations where, you know, I remember when cartoons, gosh, you just like would watch, I think it was a Thursday night, you know, was The Wonderful World of Disney. And that was it for the week, unless there was a couple Saturday morning things on, I think. But that was about the only cartoon thing you had, you know, as a kid. So now, I mean, my God, there's Nickelodeon, and there's Cartoon Network, and there's all the ones in Canada, and it just goes on and on and on. You know, the Warner Brothers animation, of course, it's just, I mean, there's any time of day now, if you want to get on one of the cable networks and watch, you know, SpongeBob, whatever it is that you it's going to be running somewhere. You know, even MTV runs cartoons, Comedy Central runs South Park, so there's no excuse for you to say, gosh, where do I start? It's like, well, you can start by mimicking some of your favorite characters and just trying, you know, trying to sort of hear where the voice is coming from. You know, if it's kind of a nasal, kind of up in the nose, you know, kind of thing. And listen to it. The first thing I say to people is sing the note the character's on. So if somebody's talking like up here like this and you go, blah, blah, blah. Right, you're a singer, aren't you, Lauren?
Yes, I've known to sing a tune or two.
Sing a tune? So you go, well, okay, so then, you know, here's my voice, it's kind of down here. So when I hear that voice, I listen to it and go, okay, la, la, okay, there's where the voice is, it's up there. So I'm not going to be able to mimic the voice down here in my regular voice. I'm going to have to go up here like this, you know, and this is really great for young moms.
Right.
And so then you kind of, if you're working toward professionalism, that's when you start to say, okay, that voice is a little higher. You know, then that can be maybe a gentler voice or a sweeter voice character, or you're hearing another character, that's even higher. You know, okay, that's a good kid's voice.
Now, that's really high. How do you get up that high?
Well, okay, here's the exercise. The exercise goes like this. You start way low.
So, blah. Just let your jaw drop like that.
I'm doing this, you know, as you were doing it. I'm doing the exercise.
Like you're at the dentist office, you know, and they say, open your mouth. So, you go, la. And sometimes it helps to use your hand, like take your hand way down, you know, by your hips and just go, la. And then come all the way up. So, you're going, la. So, basically, your vocal cords can stretch like that's all you're doing. You know, if you hit the bass string on a bass, it's a very thick string, isn't it? And then as you go up, to the highest note on the bridge, then that's a thinner string. So that's exactly what your vocal, they're like, ah. When they're down like this, they're kind of vibrating and they're sort of thicker. Then you go, ah, then they stretch up. So,
and obviously, they're like any craft, there are exercises to hone your instrument to be able to mm-hmm. to be able to do that register from the low register to the high register without that crack in between.
Yeah. That's probably from my bag of Cheetos earlier today. yeah, you get it, you know, as you keep doing it. And you know what? If it cracks, that doesn't matter either, because more with vocalists that, but if you're just like, la,
and then you start up there. You just start with where the voice is up there.
Because I've certainly worked with people who say, oh, my God, particularly guys, and they go, oh, my God, I can't get my voice up there. And I just go, well, just do a few notes, just la. They go, oh, there I am up there. And so they see that they do have a range in their voice. And then there's a lot of women who go, oh, no, I couldn't possibly get my voice that low. And again, if they relax the neck muscles and the jaw, so it's like, ah, everything's very loose. And they go, I mean, you wouldn't want to develop a character way low like that, because then you don't have any place to go. You're just sort of stuck, you know, so you go up a couple notes. So if you're down here, you can't go much lower, but if you go a little bit higher, then you can go up and down in that character, which makes it more interesting. So people just have to play with their voice more and not see themselves as just speaking in the same voice that they are in every day, that they have identified themselves in, which, you know, usually we'll go like maybe two or three notes when we're talking to somebody. We might say, oh, hey, I'll see you Saturday. So I just went up, da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da. So there's music in our voice, but we're not going to just, you know, be talking to somebody and then suddenly go, hey, let's go to the show Saturday. I mean,
that's how I talk to my friends.
Oh, great.
To make it a little interesting. But
yeah, or if you've got kids and grandkids and stuff like that, they love it. They
love it. You're right, but it's a sense of play, and I'm assuming that your voiceover classes, especially your beginning classes, will introduce these skills and ideas into how to get started with exercising and where the play of the voice.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I do, yeah, the beginning class, even the intro class, but to me, you're never off the hook. I mean, it's sort of like a basketball player saying, you know, I learned to dribble in my first class. I don't need anything else. It's like every class, whether you're advanced or not, we do the warm-ups. And the warm-ups are breathing and the one I just showed you and some of the placements. You know, there are placements like if you feel like the voice is coming out of the abdomen, you know, then you can kind of take the voices through your body. You know, then you can say, okay, this one's a little higher. And this one's a little higher. And this one's a little higher. And this is up in my nose. And this is up in my eyes. And this is at the very top of my head. So you can kind of feel like your voices are also located somewhere in your body just to kind of help you visualize it.
Yeah, I totally.
I don't let people off the hook just because they're in an advanced class.
No. I think you have to fine-tune your instrument at all times. That's part of the process. Is there a big difference between creating a voice or somewhat of a character, doing an animation audition versus a commercial audition? How would you coach people on both sides?
Well, I think, again, there's like one of the things I teach in the intermediate class is that if you're doing a bank ad, you're not in other words, if I'm doing a bank ad, it would be crazy for me to go, so now at First National Bank, I mean, that would be kind of crazy. So
be funny,
but also,
crazy.
This voice up here isn't going to work either, because nobody would trust a kid to go to the bank. So I'm going to pick my lower range, and I'm not going to have a lot of motion. In other words, you wouldn't go, so tomorrow let's bank at Pinnacle Bank. I mean, that's more like one Sunday morning on Disney. So you have to learn where you're going to use the voice, how many notes you're going to use, given what is the product that you're speaking for. If you're a character in an ad, like you're playing the mom or the wife or the little boy or little girl, then that's different. Then you're going to have a character voice. But if you're just a straight announcer in it, you know, then that's what you're going to have to understand where your voice should sit for that type of ad. And that's kind of a learning process.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, it is. And listening. A lot of times, I think one of the best exercises, as I say, okay, just get the remote in your hand, and, you know, your friends, my friends hate me. They're like, give me that remote, because if I have it, I'm going to watch the commercials, and they're just going to go crazy. You know, turn that thing off, hit me. Okay? This is my career. I can't not watch the commercials because I want to stay up on what's going on. But get that remote and listen to those commercials. And just right after somebody says something, just say it, you know, no matter what it is, whatever they've said. If they say, you know, tonight watch Locked Up on MSNBC. So you watch it, and you hear them say it, and then you go, tonight, da-da. They don't go tonight. They went tonight on MSNBC, watch Locked Up. And you just follow what that person, just say it immediately after they say it. And that'll start to get your ears in training for just listening, which is going to really help you.
Now, anybody that is interested in taking a voiceover class, is it a necessary requirement to have experience as an actor or improv skills, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. I think you can start wherever you want to start. I mean, if you start with improv, you can, you know, you wouldn't say, well, can I take improv if I haven't had voiceover? It's like, wherever you start, you know, is where you start, because it's all going to gel together to help you. I mean, I've done improv, one-woman show, stand-up comedy, and they all just lend themselves to each other. You know, so for me, being a singer, and when I would do my singing and stuff, I'd always throw in jokes and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it was kind of a natural step to kind of go into the comedy thing. And but once I developed all these characters, I said, I want a place for these characters that I've developed through voiceover to be on stage. So that's when I developed my one-woman show.
And what was
so,
your one-woman show?
Get a Life. Get a Life.
Get a Life. And you had all your friends with you?
I had all my voices, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's, are you going to reopen that magical door again and bring it to theater lovers in Los Angeles?
Well, I might. I don't know at this point. It's quite a lot of energy, you know, to get a one-woman show going again. And I would update it, of course. But that could happen. I don't know. At this point, I'm so busy that I can't even think of putting one more thing on the plate.
On the plate.
Yeah.
That's very true. So what are you, I noticed some of the projects you're working on. Tell me about the Slash animation, The Goddess Only Knows. I'm so curious. Tell us more about that.
I love that one. Well, I have some animation projects that I've written and developed, and the Goddess Only Knows is kind of like questions to the goddess, like everybody shows up at a town hall meeting because we never met her. Right? Have you met the goddess? We met God, we met Jesus, we met Allah, we met Muhammad, we met Mary, Mother of God, but where's the goddess? So the whole thing is, hey, you're going to finally get to meet her, and she descends out of the clouds, and then just like sort of the town hall meetings they have on CNN, people gather to call in and ask her questions about how does she see the universe? How does she see what's going on?
Oh, that's fabulous.
It's really fun. It's on YouTube. I think you have to type in M like, you know, M like mountain, J like joy, Lallo, L-A-L-L-O on YouTube, and that should they should all come on, that one as well as Dr. Deanie.
Dr. Deanie? Oh, I when I was reading about Dr. Deanie, I said, I better mind my P's and Q's because, you know, Dr. Deanie is a little satire about live radio, and here we are doing live radio. Dr.
Yeah, Deanie's
Dr.
great.
Deanie,
I love
could
the
be
Dr.
calling
Deanie
me.
Show.
Yes, Dr.
She,
Deanie.
She might call you, right? Or actually, you have to call her because you call her with you. She's a little like the Dr. Laura. You got to call her with your problems. But, you know, Dr. Deanie is 8. She's a childhood genius, but she's 8. Now, this is interesting. I can't tell you how many executives I went and met with. It was amazing to me how many places I went, and they all loved the concept. They loved just even the little one-minute pitches that I had animated. Very, you know, oh, my God, so innovative, so interesting. But people don't really, you know, particularly men, 18 to 39 is our demographic, and they don't really watch female leads in cartoons. So, praise the Lord. Here we go.
But I'm sure if they found out that it had a viewing audience of so many hundreds of million people and generated X amount of income and had product, then they would say, you know, I've always loved Dr. Deeney. I've always loved it. Bob, why did you say no to that project? That's always the case.
Well, that's what you hope. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going. I think a good person would be to get this to, it would be Oprah, Tyler Perry.
I think you should go on Shark Tank. Have you ever seen that show?
What's it called?
Shark Tank.
No.
Where it's a la American Idol, only in the sense that there are four judges, if you want to call them judges, but four self-made millionaires in a variety of industries who give their own money to people who come on the show to that have created an invention.
Oh. You
know, and they decide what, and you have to have all the stats, the numbers, where do you think your business will go, how much will it generate, et cetera. And then they decide whether you're a risk or not, and if you are a risk, how much money they're going to give you. And most of the time, they have a 51% share of your company because they've given you the money.
Okay.
But it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
called Shark Tank. Where do you go?
Shark Tank. It's on Fridays at 8. Fridays at on ABC at 8 p.m. And there was a woman on there who her family entertained by barbecuing all the time.
Okay.
So she created a packet of metal steaks or signs that you could put in meat that read rare, medium rare, well done, and she packaged them in a packet, and they've been selling off the hook.
Wow.
I mean, really interesting things. So I don't see why it has to be some kind of you have a product. It's not an invention in a traditional sense, but it's an invention of a creative idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the only caveat or a caveat of this show is that these judges want to know how many you've sold. So if you were to take your show to them and say you need this money to produce it, to put it on air, if you went to a network and said, here, I have X amount of money, they would know how. So what's your viewership?
Oh, okay.
You know, that's because that would be your product is your viewers is your product. How many have you sold? How many people are watching? What are your demographics?
Oh, I see.
I think it would be fascinating because because people always you always hear similar stories. Oh gosh, you know, I tried to go here, and then I went there, and nobody did it, and all of a sudden somebody believed in you, and it boomed. Everybody says, well, yeah, we saw it first.
We loved it.
We loved MJ.
Dude loved him. Oh, my gosh, he's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's because people, it seems, don't want to take a risk without, and it's only reasonable to assume that, especially if somebody's giving you hundreds of thousands of dollars, they don't want to take a risk if nobody buys them.
Right.
So it's the same principle, I think, when you're talking on a creative level and I'm pitching ideas that it's already sold. People, you just need a little more money to make it bigger.
Right. Right, because the thing is that you've got to, you know, I've already spent the money to hire animators and put it together and then record it and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I have questions for the goddess.
All right.
These kinds of things make life very interesting, and it sounds from your telling us about voiceover that it's just a lot of fun.
It's too much fun.
You get to play, and that I think is something we tend to forget as adults. We bury our child somewhere that once you reach a certain age, you're not supposed to play anymore. And it's so so nice to be
able
to.
Well, I think in a lot of schools, it's you don't play anymore, the day you walk in. Sit down. Shut up. Wait till you're called on. Get in line. We're going to the bathroom now. All right. Get back in your seat. I don't remember school being that much fun.
No, I don't. I don't either. Well, there was more fun. I had music in school, which kids today, depending on where you go, the public schools, most of them don't have a music program.
Well, thank you, Ronald freaking Reagan. You know, I don't want people to glamorize this guy. He's an Aquarius, so am I. So I'm tried to like him, but basically, I used to teach in Colorado. I was one of the Colorado what they call poets in residence, and so we went around and we taught poetry and performance to kids in the schools because there was a National Endowment for the Arts, and then the state would come up with some of that money too. So that was a great job, and I mean, I would walk in as this guest to these classes and get these kids up and writing, and I played my guitar, so they would write with music, and it was just a blast, and they never, and then all of a sudden, that came to an end, because Ronnie came in and said, okay, we don't really need arts in this school, let's, Prop 13, let's just can that. So, I think there's a lot of kids that are really dropping out of school because it's not fun. I mean, maybe they've got an art class, but then have they got any paints? Have they got any, something to do the art with? And I don't know where theater and all that is.
With theater on a certain level. I think most people view the arts as something that, well, you're never going to be able to find a job in the arts, and that it doesn't really hone any important skills, math, reading, other things. Those are important. I mean, they're important, but that's important because you're going to get a job and one of those, you're going to need to calculate something. Well, what about being creative, thinking on your feet? I'm sure a lot of business people take improv classes, not because they're going to pursue a career in improv. It's because whether they might be public speakers for their company and need to have a better idea of how to speak in public, get over any fears they may have. So everything in the arts can help you in any type of business. That's my feeling. Amen.
Yeah, the other thing about improv and being more spontaneous kind of goes back to a very old spiritual principle, which is being in the moment.
Exactly.
Just right here. I mean, if you're just right there with this person and you're not thinking, gosh, I didn't pick up the kitty litter and what's my 5-year-old doing somewhere. I mean, if you're just right there with somebody or right there with your copy in the booth, you're going to do a lot better in life and you're going to have a lot more fun. I think people are just not that present. I've had conversations with people when they're working on their phone, the BlackBerry,
I think
I'm trying to talk to this person, and their thumbs are going, and they're looking at me going, uh-huh, and it's like we've become really attention. What is that? The attention deficit disorder or something.
Exactly.
Is it ADD or something?
Exactly. I can't believe we talked for 30 minutes. This is so amazing. And before we go, I just want to let our listeners know where they can contact to get more information about your classes and et cetera. So
they can go to www.creating, that's a CREATING, like creating, don't forget the ING on the end, voices, VOICES, that's a S on the end, creatingvoices.com.
Wonderful. That's terrific. MJ, thank you so much for a fun-filled 30 minutes of voices and of you. You're just terrific. And
my book is on the site, too. When you come to the very home page, it's VoiceOver for Animation. I did the 12-track CD, Rock and Roll, so you can read all about it. You can listen to the read about it and also listen to the 12-track CD on anything you want to know about animation.
Beautiful, beautiful. So thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a blast.
It was fun. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Please join me next time when my guests will be health enthusiast Julie Hoffenberg and cancer thriver Sarah Woodard. They'll discuss healing with raw foods and their cookbook, The Healing Patch Cookbook. So please give a listen. And don't forget about our new format that's coming in February. all so very exciting. So please stay tuned. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. See you next time. I look forward to helping you find your own comfort.